Entrepreneurship, leadership, and free market capitalism. You are listening to Kill Bigger Radio with Kyle Keegan.
Welcome back to Kill Bigger Radio. We are bringing high quality, big thinking business content to Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeart, YouTube, Stitcher, and all of your favorites. We build things that matter, we build things that last, and we kill bigger. I am your host, Kyle Keegan. Thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Guys, I can't thank you guys enough. I am so excited that you guys are here. I hope you caught our last episode. I had really three topics of conversation on the last episode. I'm going to give you a little recap on that. I've started that episode off with a little bit of a story from a podcast that I like to listen to, and it is a Christian podcast by a guy by the name of Greg Laurie, and I really just like what he has to say a lot, but basically the premise is, are you a world changer or are you changed by the world? And the podcast that I put on was not Christian in nature. However, I got inspired by that podcast. It's one of my favorites, and if you're interested in finding a podcast like that, I encourage you to check his out. It's not a wimpy podcast. I really like it because it's just a strong, strong leadership style podcast. And I've just been very happy with that. I started with that. Are you a world changer or does the world change you? And I kind of went into that for a little while. And that was an interesting narrative, an interesting thing that we went down for a little while there. I also talked about what I am examining as what I consider a decentralization trend. So something kind of interesting there. I believe that things are just decentralizing a bit, and that is good. When things change, things get more efficient, things get better. This is human productivity. This is human advancement. And I just think that it's kind of neat. So that was something else we talked about. And then I went a little bit into some economics in the third part of the show, where I talked about the Fed and how they're targeting that 2% inflation. They are targeting, you know, to have at least 2% inflation now. And they say all the time that they're doing this to support the job market. And I, you know what, it occurred to me that the majority of people probably don't know what the connection between inflation and the job market is. So I dove a little bit into that to explain the connection between inflation and the job market, how I think the central banks have it wrong. Of course, inflation will support the job market, but you'll see the caveats that is under, right? So there are some things, some implications of that policy. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's a good intention policy, but you'll see what I'm talking about. I make the claim that inflation is normally associated with high jobs, a high employment rate, because of supply and demand more so than because of a central bank. So one, it puts the cart before the horse, and the other puts the cart in its rightful place behind the horse. And, you know, full employment will drive up prices because everybody is participating in the economy. So that was an interesting show. I hope you go back and check that out if you haven't already. I love to give you guys these recaps because, you know, this stuff is kind of evergreen here, guys. So, you know, I say listen to them all. So I appreciate you guys. I'm so glad that you are here, and I am excited about today's show. Actually, a little rather stirred up about today's show. Today, I saw a very interesting post. It was on The Hill, I think, and it was just a picture of protesters, and one of the protesters was holding a sign that said, "Cancel rent." Cancel rent. And I had to look at that and say, what in the world? What in the world are you people thinking that you can just cancel rent? That's a fundamental misunderstanding of how value, economics, how trade works. What makes you think that you are entitled to live off of somebody else's property, live in someone else's property? Somebody owns that, right? Somebody owns that building. Somebody maintains that building. Somebody purchased that building, pays the interest on it, the taxes on it. They've had it for longer than you've lived there. And all of a sudden, you are demanding, you know, this person with this sign, right? You are demanding a free ride, right? A free ride for nothing, right? So you propose, and this in your endless brilliance, you protester, propose that we give you guys an apartment for nothing, right? Us producers, we are to just cater to your will and allow you to live in our property. You just want to be a squatter, is what you're saying, and you just want to live in our property forever without paying rent. Okay, yeah, that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. That, yeah, so impressive. What an economic thinker. Maybe this guy can get nominated for the Nobel Prize. I know that they have given the Nobel Prize in economics to some real, real deadbeats. So maybe this is perfectly fitting for all of our lovely protesters that want to cancel rent. Okay, let's talk about property rights today, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about property rights. We no longer respect property rights in this country, evidently. Okay, so what it amounts to, what we are seeing now, is that rioters and looters are allowed to go through the streets. They are allowed to burn down businesses. They are allowed to loot our property. They're allowed to destroy personal property. And we are not allowed to defend said property. And I don't want to get political on this. I just want to support property rights. I believe in the things that I buy are mine, right? I mean, I believe in the simple fact that the things I own, the businesses I own, the real estate that I own belongs to me, okay? It does not belong to a lynch mob with, you know, firebombs and, guys, this is unbelievable stuff here. I don't know if you guys have seen the St. Louis couple who aimed their guns at protesters that were charged with the felony and arrested and stuff like that. They were standing, guys, they were standing literally 30 feet from their front door on a very large piece of property that they owned, right? These were people who were telling them to abandon their homes and basically turn their homes over to the rabid mob of people. And guys, this is not a racist thing, okay? This absolutely, in my opinion, is not a racist thing. I mean, from purely just the glimpses of the news that I've caught at families' houses, because I don't watch the news. I read the news, generally speaking, but I'm trying to find a more fact-based source for my news consumption. From the glimpses that I have seen on the news, the majority of these complete assholes that are wrecking everything are white commies. Okay, they are Antifa people and they're white. So this has nothing to do with race, in my opinion. And I'm sure that among the black community that is not cool with this, they're probably pretty pissed off that these people think that they are needed to speak up for black people. I find that rather ironic. I find that rather, honestly, very, very racist that they feel the need to speak up for a population of people and represent the population of the people and tell everybody what a group of people that they aren't a part of thinks. That to me is just one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. And, you know, it's rabid here. And this poor couple, they're not young, guys. They're not young. Okay. You know, granted, they're in a wealthy area, so I know people hate rich people now. You know, that's what all of us have to look forward to here on the Kill Bigger Radio Show, because you know, we're out to make some money in this world. And you know, when we provide the kind of value that we're talking about providing here, guys, money follows. All right. So this is what we have to look forward to when we are elderly and, you know, probably these guys look pretty wealthy. They've got quite the home behind them. But, you know, they're not allowed to protect their property. They're charged with felony gun charges and all sorts of stuff. And it's like, well, what in the hell? Why do we even have them then? Why don't you just come and collect all the guns? Because if we're not allowed to use them to protect our liberty and our property, and make no mistake, part of my liberty is my ability to own my property, you know, and to not have it burned to the ground and smashed to pieces and looted and stolen from. Part of my liberty is that. So if we can't defend our liberty with our firearms, why do we even have them? Why do we even have them? And, you know, this to me just reeks of the fact that, you know, people are allowing this type of stuff to go on, right? This is the entire point of gun rights, is to be able to protect your liberty and to protect your property, okay? Whether it's from a private individual or whether it is from tyranny, that is the intended point of the Second Amendment in the United States. And you guys from other countries are just going to have to bear with me on this. The Second Amendment states a well-regulated militia being essential to the sovereignty of a free state. And I'm summarizing, but it's close. I don't know. This is off the top of my head. Being essential to the sovereignty of a free state, comma, big deal here, comma. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And if you actually know anything about grammar, you will understand the different clauses of the sentence. And basically, that translates to, because we have to have this well-regulated militia to defend the sovereignty of the country, and we hate government so much, and we already understand that government has overstepped its bounds, and it's been such a disgusting disgrace in our lives as the founding fathers, right? That we want to give the people the ability to defend themselves from said tyranny, right? It has a comma in there. Because this well-regulated militia, which means well-regulated militia means that the police force, the military, the entire military, the National Guard, all of that needs to be well regulated and restricted by a constitution. Because we didn't even really want to have that, but we got it anyway, right? Because we kind of need it to protect our sovereignty. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, right? Because we give this power to the government, the people also get some power, okay? This was supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Property rights form the very foundation of entrepreneurship. They form the very foundation of business, of transaction, okay? How can you transact with other people? How can human cooperation even exist without property rights? How can anything get done? How can people eat without property rights? If there aren't property rights for the person that is growing the food out of the ground that you put in your mouth, if there's no property rights for that person, there's also no incentive for him or her to grow said food. Okay. It forms the very foundation of all businesses. So there is no argument against property rights. You can't argue it. It is apolitical against property rights. So it is about damn time that we have some people sticking up for the property rights of business owners, the property rights of homeowners, the property rights of rich people. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, you're talking about people like Elizabeth Warren are absolutely reprehensible. She wants to reach into the bank accounts of people who already made their money, already paid the stupid obligatory taxes that they were levied. The confiscatory punishment for their success has already been paid. Yet She wants to reach into their bank accounts. She wants to reach in there and grab money after the fact. For the mere fact that she doesn't think that these people should be as successful as they are. And you know, it's always so hypocritical because none of these people are affected by the policies that they create, right? I mean, on a very basic level, you have these people, these politicians dining out the very politicians who shut down their cities and still remain, the cities remain shut down, yet they are dining out and these restaurants are opening just for them, right? They're private dining while their cities burn, economically speaking, right? Their cities burn, their businesses are closing their doors, and yet they don't care. They don't give a crap, you know? And, you know, you also had Nancy Pelosi with her mask. She wasn't wearing it in her hair salon and all that stuff. Just big double standard stuff. But my point is, they exempt themselves from the laws that they don't like, right? They're above the law. They're above the law. And I had this discussion with my wife for a little while. You know, I, in particular, I was driving around the other day and, you know, we have a mask order by the governor of our state, right? This is a law in our state. And, you know, I, for one, have avoided it to the majority of my ability. I don't know what the fine is, but it's pretty insignificant, and I have yet to be hassled by anybody, but I'll pay the fine, personally speaking, because I feel like I have the right to walk around without a face diaper, personally. You know, that's just me. If you want to wear a face diaper, you're more than welcome to wear a face diaper. However, I watched a police officer walk into a gas station with no mask on, and that got me riled up. Okay, so my wife is on the same page as me as far as these masks are concerned. She, you know, she agrees. Let's just pay the fine. If we get caught, we'll pay the fine, and we'll have a story to tell about how we have no liberties. And seeing that police officer walk into that gas station with no mask on, obviously, I'm not going to be the Karen that goes and bitches at him for not wearing a mask, especially because I don't really consider it a necessary thing to do. However, I feel like that is a show of superiority over the constituent, over the citizenry, right? I feel like if there is a police officer walking in uniform, defying the very laws that the governor signed in the state, that is a show that he is above the law, right? That is what that looked like to me. So it pissed me off. My wife, on the other hand, said, I like it because it shows other people that they don't have to wear them either. And I can see her point on it too. I think hypocrisy abounds with these political types. I think that they always exempt themselves. We had locally here a county judge who, I don't know if you guys, you know, understand Texas politics, but county judge is basically a mayor of the county. He doesn't wear a robe and he's not a judge. And we had a county judge place a curfew in effect when coronavirus first started. A curfew? Why? Because God forbid we can't go out in our cars alone after midnight or we'll catch coronavirus. What is that? What is that? That makes absolutely no sense. It doesn't apply to the subject matter that we're trying to avoid here. And everybody was a little bit more afraid of COVID. When COVID first came out, we were all a little bit afraid of COVID, and I don't know about you guys, but I took it pretty seriously when I walked into stores. You know, I made sure to use hand sanitizer before and after I went in stores and stuff like that. Now, it's been so politicized, it has been so lied to us, the waters have been so muddied throughout this whole thing that I know for a fact that it's just a bunch of complete bullshit at this point. I don't care. I absolutely don't care. I operate my life as if it's normal, except for the fact that I have to walk in the single-sided entrance at the grocery store because evidently coronavirus travels in circles and you have to come in the same entrance that you left or else everybody gets coronavirus, right? We can't open the second door to the store. No. You have to, you know, pile all the cars on one side of the parking lot and all walk in that one side where all of the lines and the cash registers are and all of that kind of stuff. Because otherwise, we would all catch COVID and die, right? Because, I mean, we don't want people to die, so let's crowd them through one door instead of two. That makes a lot of sense right now. I am super happy that they do that. And thank you to all of the grocery stores for sticking up for my right to survive COVID-19. If we go back to what I was talking about with the restaurants, right? The shutdowns. The shutdowns are the government directly disrespecting our property rights. We own restaurants. We own businesses. We own things that are supposed to make money. These are cash flowing assets that we own. These are our property, not theirs. And they unilaterally decide that we aren't allowed to use our property. Okay, so that is a violation of property rights. And it, as a matter of fact, I don't believe it's any different than the lynch mobs, the riots, the nut jobs out there that are burning things down and smashing things in the name of whatever it is that they are now protesting. Because I find it hilarious that despite all of this, and I give them a hard time all the time, guys, because I am an equal opportunity bullshit highlighter, okay? But I saw a poll the other day that said Donald Trump's support among Black Americans is higher than any president, any Republican president in history. Okay, any Republican. Okay, honestly, this shows you guys that it isn't the Black Americans that are, you know, supporting this crazy riot stuff. I personally am convinced. I am absolutely convinced that it is these white communists. I think that they are these Antifa losers. They are losers. Make no mistake. They are absolute losers, these Antifa people. Okay? And, you know, people say, oh, it's anarchy. It's anarchy. That's not anarchy. These people want communism. They want the government to do everything for them. It's the opposite of anarchy, right? They're like, power to the people. They love to chant power to the people. And it's like, do you even know what that means? Do you even know what power to the people means? Power to the people means liberty. not a gigantic tyrannical government stealing money, stealing property, imposing your will on other people who want to just live peacefully, own their property, and grow a business. Okay? That is power to the people, is liberty. Not imposing some weird communistic freak show that they some, you know, I don't even know what their list of demands is, but this would definitely be a group that if Peter Schiff did his round two of walking around with a microphone asking people, hey, what do you think about banning profits, you know, and he, you know, if you look up that YouTube video, it is absolutely hysterical. He went to the DNC and, he literally just came up with the stupidest stuff he could possibly ask these people. He's like, you know, why don't we ban profits? That was one of the stupidest questions he could come up with when he started talking to these people. And they're like, you know what? You're right. You know, you are somebody who this party should get behind and all this crazy stuff. You should see these people, what they say to him after he asks them if they should ban profits. Which brings me to the fact that democracy is a tool of tyranny at this point, guys. It's where the 49% gets to be steamrolled by 51% of people, right? So if we go take this to its ultimate path, and I know that there's this weird, I don't know what you call it, some effect or some, you know, the intellectuals love to say it, but when you bring Hitler into it, you automatically lose the debate. Oh, really? Because Hitler happened, okay? Hitler happened, and he happened to carry out the will of the constituents, right? So it's not too far off. You have to start comparing yourself to Germany, right? We're an industrialized nation. So was Germany. Germany, for all intents and purposes, was doing pretty well. I mean, they weren't doing that great because of World War I. They were a little bitter and left over from that. But for all intents and purposes, they were a sane, industrialized country with some opportunity. And they threw down, guys. They threw down and did some crazy, nefarious, horrible things And they did it at the hands of the government, and everything they did, ladies and gentlemen, was legal. Let that sink in. So the murder of millions of people at the hands of the state was legal. When was the last time you heard any politician talk about limited government? Any politician with a shot in the world, right? There may be some out there that believe in limited government, but they don't get very far. The only thing we have now are government officials that are promising everybody the entire world. And the problem is, the government has no grounds to promise anything to anybody because the government can't give you anything it first doesn't take from somebody else in some form or fashion, right? And I am happy to debate that with anybody, right? There is absolutely nothing that the government can give you that it didn't first take from somebody else, right? If you know, they say, oh, no, they're just going to print money. Well, they're taking your buying power if they print money, okay? If they say they're going to give you safety from coronavirus by shutting down the country, they are stealing from business owners who are no longer allowed to operate their business. They have made it illegal to turn a profit in some businesses. I am very, very happy to hear that the airlines are allowed to fly full flights, okay? And, you know, I know many people are like, the people that can't see the big picture, right, will say, well, you know, they shouldn't be flying. I love that they're not flying full flights. You know, flying full flights, that's just uncomfortable for everybody. And it's like, well, you know what? You haven't earned the right to fly privately yet. You haven't probably, if you're talking like that, haven't earned the right to even fly first class. And the fact of the matter is, if you like the fact that you can buy a ticket for $400 or $500 and go pretty much anywhere in the world on an airplane that flies through the sky, right? If you like the fact that that industry exists for your own travel pleasures, you better start being happy about the fact that they're allowed to fly full flights. Because if the government had their way and started saying you can't fill the middle seat and all of this stuff that they were doing a couple months ago, we would be in big trouble. That entire industry would be in big, big jeopardy. And it's still having issues, guys. I dropped the wife off at the airport the other day. She was going somewhere. It was just sad. It was just sad to see just a line of airplanes just sitting out there on the tarmac, not being used. And it was just depressing as somebody who likes industry, as somebody who likes a moving economy. I don't know. I'm one of those weird people who, you know, I'll come over the bridge to the ship channel here in Houston and see all of the industry, all of the petroleum industry and the barges and the ships coming in. And I look at that and I'm like, that's just cool. That's just cool. It's a hell of a view to me. You know, I appreciate a really great view of nature and mountains and all of that kind of stuff. But I also just, I look at human production and see beauty. I see beauty in amazing businesses that have grown from nothing. Somebody, somewhere, when I'm coming over that ship channel bridge and I see multi-billion dollar industry, after industry after industry, so many different chemical companies and petroleum companies and shipping companies, there was an entrepreneur behind every single one of those companies that started those once upon a time. Guys, that is awe-inspiring to me. That absolutely, that is what America is about. That's why we started this place, was to be rugged individualists that could go out and build the future, build great things. And that is what we're talking about here on the Kill Bigger Radio Show, guys. That is why we support property rights. That is why when I see things like cancel rent printed on a protest sign, I know we're in a world of hurt. I know we're in a world of hurt, and it disappoints me. But as always, us entrepreneurs need to learn to play the hand that we are dealt and deal with the system that we have to, unfortunately, work within. And that will do it for the day, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. This is Kyle Keegan signing off. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. Please follow us on Twitter, give us your 5-star reviews, and also tell your friends. Send in your voicemail questions and to be featured on the show, check out killbigger.com, where you can find a podcasting app. If you don't have a favorite yet, find books we have mentioned on this show and stay informed with our mailing list and Kill Bigger blog. Thank you for supporting the show and being part of the movement up the charts. Join the discussion at thefastlaneforum.com. God bless you guys. People like you are the future. Have a fantastic rest of your day. We will be back with you tomorrow. Until next time, everybody, keep killing bigger.